Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
You don't have to listen to your flesh. You don't have, that was a good place to say amen or at least clap a little. You don't have to do what your flesh says. You don't have to do what your friend says. You don't have to do what your baby mama says. For if you live by its dictates, what it says, you will die. But if, that's a big if now, through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. Not maybe, not might, not could, but you will live. For all, everybody say all. Somebody say everybody. All who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I am a child of God. Tell him, I look just like him. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Somebody say, Spirit-fed, Spirit-led. My question is, what have you been eating this week? Have you been feeding your spirit, feeding your faith, praise God, feeding it with the things of God, the nourishment like prayer, devotion, time with God, maybe fasting. Maybe just standing in your prayer closet and speaking in tongues for about 5 minutes. Can I encourage you? Do that. Can I encourage you, before you step out of your car tomorrow, just let that spirit flow for about 60 seconds. You say, what are you doing? You're feeding the spirit. You're getting that spirit man strong. Because guess what? You don't know what is waiting for you at your job tomorrow, but the Spirit of God does. So we are spirit-fed and spirit-led the last few sessions, and we'll go through this very quickly. We as believers must have a consistent diet of the things of God all day, every day. We are in the middle of our deep dive of Romans 8. We've been talking the last two sessions about spirit versus flesh. It's a fight that you and I must, number one, fight every day. But when you're on the spirit side, you're going to win it every day. Tonight, in just a few moments, we will dive into the topic of slaves or sons. You are one or the other, and you can't be a little slave and a little of the son. You're either one or the other, and it is your choice. We will talk about what a spirit-filled life looks like and what a spirit-filled life produces. Romans chapter 8 is over 30 verses of spirit-filled information on how to live a spirit-filled life. A spirit-filled life, church, remember, is more than you speaking in tongues one time on a Sunday or letting that gift rumble out of you for a few moments on a Wednesday night in an altar or at your seat. A spirit-filled life is literally every day allowing the Spirit of God that is in you to call the shots and to dictate where we go in our lives, who we go with in our lives, and what we will choose to do with our lives. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 talks about the conversion and that now that we belong to Christ, there is no more condemnation. One of the first ways you can tell whether you are living a spirit-filled life or you are still being led in the flesh is do you deal with condemnation? I'm not talking about do you ever have the thought. I'm talking about do you ever give space to that thought and start feeling like you cannot be what God has called you to be because of something you've done. Let me remind you, believer, in the room and online tonight, when you said yes to Jesus and you asked him to forgive you of all of your sins, the Bible says that God not only forgives us and redeems us, but he does not remember who we used to be and what we used to do. It is forgotten, which means when you bring it up to him, he has no clue what you're talking about. There's no condemnation. God sent his son Jesus to do what in our flesh we could not do in the law. Remember, church, the law pushes us, but the Spirit leads us. God does not want a bunch of robots. He has given us free will. We see even in the Garden of Eden, which was perfection, before sin entered into the world, God gave Adam and Eve free will because he wants everybody that says, I love you, to really mean it. Because it doesn't do anything for God if he has to put his thumb on my head to make me say I love you, to take me by the hand and drag me to my destiny. God gets no fulfillment out of that. What he gets fulfillment out of is when he is one of two choices. And somewhere in our lives, church, we say no to the world and we say yes to Jesus. Without somebody manipulating us, without someone promising us something in the future, we just say, Jesus, I want you in my life. Please forgive me, and I will follow you every day of my life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus did it for us. What we couldn't do, Jesus did it for us. We couldn't fulfill the law, so God chose to fill us with his spirit. Remember, everyone is controlled by their sinful nature, which is the flesh, or by the Holy Spirit. When you converted to Christ, church, you changed camps. When you converted to Christ, you changed teams and you changed tribes. You are not who you used to be. You can't act like you used to act. You can't talk like you used to talk. You can't walk. You can't go where you used to go. Why? Because now you are a vessel that is full of the Spirit of God. And that Spirit can't be exposed to just anything, anywhere, at any time. I know you can, but you got to let God lead you. You can't just drag it wherever you want it to be. Convert means metatropion, where we picked up is the transmutation to change from one nature to another. I literally think different. You literally think different. That's why Paul would use examples and he would say, you now have the mind of Christ. It's not your thoughts anymore, but Christ's mind now makes decisions for us. That's why Paul would say, put on the helmet of salvation. Why? To protect your mind, to protect your brain, your thoughts, so that you think like Christ. And we ended last session talking about the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you. Let's talk about spirit versus flesh. Somebody say spirit versus flesh. That is a fight, church, that we will fight every day for the rest of our lives. Now, it is not an easy fight. However, church, can I tell you, it should get easier. It's not an easy. It's never an easy fight, but it should be easier in 2023 than it was in 2022. Because the devil does the same thing over and over and over. There's no new tricks. There's no new traps. You say it's pornography today, but David was looking at naked women on the rooftop of his kingdom before there was ever a magazine or a video. It's the same tricks. And as you and I begin to live that spirit-filled life, we understand, we recognize the traps by discernment from the Spirit, but also we understand you tried that 5 years ago and it did not work. You tried that two relationships ago and it didn't work then and it's not going to work now. The spirit versus your flesh is that fight. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, and I added this while I was out here today. He said, I die daily. Said, daily I kill my flesh and I release the spirit. I crucify my flesh. Crucify in Greek, I execute my flesh. I make sure my flesh is not thinking for me, talking for me, walking for me, loving for me, serving for me. Romans 8, verse 12, here we go. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, this is our theme scripture of the entire chapter of 8 of Romans. He said, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation. Somebody say no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You're not obligated to your sinful nature. You're not obligated to your flesh. Listening to your flesh is like listening to your ex. Why would you do that? You got a new bae now. You got a new homeboy now. Why would you listen to them when they never did you right? It's easy to amen that, but why would I listen to my ex-flesh? Why would I listen to Brandon from 2002 or 2003 instead of the spirit-filled version of me in 2023? I am under no obligation. I don't owe the devil nothing. I don't owe my past nothing. I don't owe people an explanation for why I don't show up, why I don't want to hang out, why I don't want to go there. I'm under no obligation. The only thing I'm obligated to is the Spirit of Christ that now rules and lives in me. Obligated is something by which a person is bound to do. However, remember, we are not bound anymore, so obligations don't matter. Obligation defined also means a binding contract. However, we have a covenant that is greater than any contract. And so I don't buy into all this. They sold their soul to the devil. You can't sell something you don't own. They are one prayer away from the Holy Spirit of God delivering them. They are one Jesus away from the Holy Spirit coming in and evicting and kicking out the devil. We have a covenant that is greater than a contract in our flesh. Obligated also means an agreement enforceable by law. Now, this is Webster's definition, an agreement enforceable by law. However, we're not under the law. Agreements that I made in the flesh don't count. Agreements that the old Brandon BC made, they don't count. Oaths that I made, declarations that I made, things that were said, things that were done. It's not enforceable by the law because I'm not under the law. I am now led of the Spirit, and the Spirit is greater than the law. Jesus paid that debt. Somebody say praise God. Here we go, verse 13. For if you live by its dictates, talking about the flesh, you will die. Whatever the flesh says, don't listen. Remember this. The enemy, the devil, is the father of all lies. He cannot tell you a truth. Anything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. So when you are hearing people say, I want to hear the voice of God in my life, God's voice sometimes is not going to be a bass booming voice. Sometimes it is the Spirit of God that is declaring his written word into your life, or a word that is specifically for you into your spirit. And this is how I know what God, if it's God speaking, does it enforce the word of God? Does it lead me closer to the presence and promise of God? How do I know the devil's voice? Is it leading me away from God? Is it leading me away from the promise of God? Does it contradict the word of God? If you live by its dictates and what it says, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit, if you let your sinful nature call the shots, you will die. You need to take this, write this down. It's not going to be on the screen, but write this down if you're taking notes, because you need to say this and declare this over yourself every day. And when you're brushing your teeth tomorrow would be a good time to just start declaring this. Tell your flesh you don't get to make decisions. Your flesh should be dead, or it should be. It doesn't get to talk. It's dead. It doesn't get to tempt me. It's dead. It doesn't get to bully me into decisions. It's dead. I'm not listening to dead things. I'm a resurrection person. You're a resurrection person. Remember when I said a couple Sundays ago, quit playing in the cemetery? Let's quit playing with dead things. Let's quit talking to dead things. Let's quit allowing dead things to dictate. Forget the Ouija board. Forget all that nonsense. Dead things don't talk. And if dead things do talk, the last thing you want to listen to is something that is dead. Because if it could be alive, it would be alive. So the only thing a dead thing can teach you is how to be dead. The only thing a liar can do is lie. Don't listen to your flesh. Romans 6:23, let's go a little further. For the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin. Sin is the stake. It tastes good. Even the Bible said it is pleasurable for a season. The steak tastes good. Y'all ever been to Ruth Chris? It's good. Y'all ever been to Brazil? Man, Brazil's so good, even they got fruit tasting good over there. That pineapple caramelized with that brown sugar. My God, let's go. Praise God. Bishop's paying in Jesus' name. Oh, he didn't amen that, so I guess he's not paying. I love eating good, y'all. But every time that check comes, now I'm full, but I'm not getting the taste. And in my mind, Miguel, I'm thinking, we could have just went to Mickey D's and ate off the value menu. The result is the same. We're full. It tastes good. But remember, anything that tastes good that you're involved in, somebody's got to pay the price. When you say yes to Jesus, he pays the price. Tyler, I love what Tyler's doing. Tyler's saving money for a house, and he went through credit counseling in high school, and credit counseling not to get out of debt, but so that he doesn't go into debt, praise God. And I love Tyler because Tyler's always coming up with these great ideas, and I've had these ideas too. I just don't live by them, praise God. He said, Dad, I've realized that if I go to the grocery store, he said, I could buy a loaf of bread, I can buy some bologna. He said, I can literally eat for like $4 a day. Oh, $2 a day. I'm sorry. Man, that's because you're on that Hill Country Fair stuff. Man, God wants to deliver you from that. Wants to bring you up, praise God. You're getting that produce at Walmart. We HEB people, praise God. And so Tyler will tell me, he'll be like, hey, Dad, I'm done eating out. Not going to do it anymore. I'm going to save money, and until he finds out I'm paying. And he learned that well because I'm still trying to figure out where Bishop and Pastor Becky are going on Sunday afternoon. Isn't it funny how we will do whatever we want if we expect someone else to pay the bill? But the world without Christ is racking up a bill that he said, I will pay for, but you are going to have to bring that bill to me. And they are living like hell, and they are not realizing that there's a God that is saying, there's a better way. I paid that bill, and I want it to be a part of your life. They pay the bill, or they do the sin. They don't want to pay the bill. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift. Somebody say free. My friend says, he's sitting on the front row right here, Rexy, if it's free, it's for me, praise God. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. However, God has given us his spirit, and through the spirit's power, you are able to put to death the works of the flesh. You don't have to do what the world says to do. Go back up to verse 13. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. You want to put to death the works of the flesh because you're going to work all of your life for the world. They're going to pay you a wage, but that wage is death. The question then becomes, church, and I have 5 minutes left tonight. The question is this: what kind of work are you putting in? I see a lot of people that go to the gym. They post pictures every day. I don't see any results. You say you're hating. No. I'm not hating because I need to go to the gym. But they're doing the work and not having the benefits. Then I see people that are going to the gym. Check this out. They're putting the work in. And I see something change. Catch this. The people that go to the gym every day and post pictures but never change are the same as the people that go to church every week. You see them, The difference is they're not putting the work Monday through Saturday in. And so they keep posting pictures of them praising God. I'm checking in the Living Way. It's going to be great today. Fire word, fire worship, amazing. And their life never changes. And let me remind you, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You are supposed to be living a spirit-filled life. We need to see, not that you're going to church, we need to see that you're spending time with the presence of God every day. And something is changing, because a half an hour is not going to change you on Sunday. And an hour and a half is not going to change you on Wednesday. It's going to take a spirit-filled life. Every day, working out. Every day, digging in. The question becomes, what kind of work are you putting in? Let's go just, we'll start this one tonight. I don't think we'll get through here. I got 3.5 minutes. Slaves or sons? Go on to verse 14. For all, and when we started, everyone in here, we all declared all, everyone who is led of the Spirit of God are children of God. Let me remind you, dear believer, today, when you said yes to God, you became a son. You became a daughter. You are now His responsibility. Not in a negative way, because He loves you and He wants to take care of you. And He wants you to live a life of health and wealth and prosperity and purpose and anointing. And God has all of those things for you as a son and a daughter of God when you said yes. When you say son, it is a powerful thing, because you are automatically reminded of the Father. When you say I'm a daughter of the King, you are automatically declaring there is a Father God in my life. That he's responsible for me, but that He takes care of me. I'm in relationship with all who are led by the Spirit. All who are led by the Spirit are children of God. Write this down if you're taking notes. Slaves are driven, sons are led. Slaves are driven, sons are led. Well, I come to church, I don't like it. You're being driven. Well, I just don't get how y'all can just stand up there and worship for 30 minutes. I don't get it. You're being driven. You're a slave. You think that we're saved by our works? We're not saved by our works. We're saved by our relationship that started with the grace of God and our faith in that God. I am so glad that I am not driven anymore. I'm so glad. Listen, San Antonio, yo, the Jehovah's Witness and Mormons are built different down here. They got 90 days of 105 degrees, and they're pedaling their bikes, and they ain't wearing shorts and a tank top. They're wearing slacks and a cotton button-down shirt, and they're knocking doors because they think knocking doors is going to get them to heaven. I don't have to knock a door. The door, Jesus said, I am the door. Behold, I stand and knock. I'm not knocking on the door. It's already been opened. I'm not being driven. I'm being led. You're being led. You're a son of God. You're not a slave any longer. You're not looking for the dealer every morning. You're not looking for the next quick fix. You're not looking to religion. You're not looking for a list of 10 things you have to do to make it to heaven. None of that. We are led because we are sons. We are children. Slaves are driven, but sons are led. We have to move to, church. You've heard me say this. You have to move to have to I want to. But there's even a greater place, get to. Younger people dragged to church, which they should be. I don't want to go to church. I have to go to church. But see, when the have to happens enough, the want to is going to kick in. I've seen kids that had their AirPods in, slouched in the pew. Mom and dad are worshiping all around them. And can I just pause and tell the believers in the house, Mom, if you're having to drag your son to church, keep dragging him. Father, if you're having to pick him up and put him in the car, do it. Do whatever you have to do to get them to church in the presence of God. But can we double down? Do whatever you have to do to get the presence of God into your house, into their bedroom, into your living room. Because the have to will turn to a want to. And then you're going to hear, and you're going to see the get to. I get to worship God. I get to worship God publicly. I'm not having to hide out in some secret underground place and whisper my devotion to God. We can be on the busiest interstate in North America and 300,000 cars can pass here every day and we can declare the goodness of the Lord. We can talk about Jesus. We can talk about our testimony. Have to, want to, get to. Verse 15, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Said you haven't received the spirit. That means you can just say, no, thank you. You know how you do to those spam calls that are happening more and more? You just delete them on or deny them on your phone. Thank God that Apple recognizes them now and it just says spam risk and I hit decline. I'm not answering that phone. Can I encourage you when the sinful nature tries to creep back up, you have the ability to reject it. You have the ability to deny that call and say, I'm not going down that road anymore. I'm not taking that phone call anymore. I'm not going to be a part of that anymore. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Those who choose not to receive a spirit that God has made available for free, all you have to do is ask, are fearful slaves. Fearful means, of course, full of fear. But my definition of a slave is someone else makes every decision for you. Some of us wake up knowing Jesus, but we're not led by Jesus. And instead, that spirit wakes us up and says, take a couple shots before you go to work. That spirit that is a slave driver tells you, go ahead and step out of your marriage. She's treating you bad. She doesn't love you. She's neglecting you. Or the opposite. You have something else that is telling you what to do. I am here to tell you, when you became a believer, a faith-filled believer, you cannot be full of fear and full of faith, and you are a slave no longer. No more slaves, only sons. We chose the right spirit to receive. Most of us in this room. Praise God, we chose the right spirit, but listen to this, church, the right spirit chose us when God adopted us. The end of verse 15 says, instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba Father. Abba Father. You know what adoption means to me, church? He didn't have to. But he did. He didn't have to, but he did. Come on, Western Church. I know it's so easy for us to forget. We're Gentiles. Without Jesus and the work of the cross, there was no way we could come to the Father. Only those who were Jewish, the Israelites, God's chosen people of the Old Testament, but thanks be to God. Stand on your feet today. Thanks be to God that Peter stood in the house of Cornelius and he said this, I believe that God is no respecter of persons. Meaning this, I know that he loves Israel. I know that the Israelites have a strong and a close place in his life, but he said, I believe that God loves everybody. And I believe that what he did on the cross in his son was for everybody. And the Bible says when he said that, 3,000 Gentiles were filled with the Holy Ghost. Spirit-filled. The Spirit-filled life. Spirit-fed. Spirit-led. Spirit-fed. Spirit-led. We were adopted. No way to have a family. And God said, I'll be your father. No way to have a family. God said, I'll be your father. And Jesus will be your elder brother. Oh, some of us need a big brother The devil's been bullying you too long. Big Brother's showed up, praise God. He's ready to thump the devil. He has indeed already thumped the devil. Can I encourage and remind you today, believer, you have been adopted. He did not have to, but he did, and I'm so glad he did. You know what I love about God? Is I have some friends who have adopted. I have family who's adopted. And I love watching mothers and fathers that have biological children and adoptive children, but nobody knows. You can't tell the difference. As much as God loves Israel, we are now Israel. That's why we stand with Israel. You were adopted, church. Some of our own parents didn't want us, but there's a God who wanted you so bad, he died for you. There's a God who loved you so much that he sacrificed his son so that he could get adoptive sons and adopted daughters.